That was one of the many stories that we read in Sunday school over the past year. We've been sort of a chapter at a time. I say we, I wasn't always there for the whole class, but thankfully there have been a group of folks looking at the book of Acts over the course of this whole year. This has been one of those stories, and it's near the end. So maybe you might even remember this story. And if not, maybe you will remember how many times we noticed how Paul was calling attention to his citizenship, to his Roman citizenship. He appeal in this story that Catherine read for us, he appeals to Caesar, and he does that at different times, claiming his Roman citizenship, which was very much a part of his identity, as much so as his Jewishness. We Mennonites have a kind of complicated, or I mean, maybe it's more simple, a relationship with citizenship, at least through our history. And I'm talking about European history, because as we just read, Mennonites are all over the world. But I'm thinking about the original Anabaptists and the ways that our ancestors, or my ancestors at least, would move from place to place, from country to country. Because instead of claiming citizenship as part of our identities, we would create these colony communities, or communities that would differentiate us from the citizens around us in the country. So, for example, my own ancestors who moved in around Europe in this way, and then to Canada, and now I'm here. What I remember from my Anabaptist history and theology class, and I'll admit that my dad is here and he's a history teacher, so I feel a little bit nervous. You can correct us later, Dad, or correct me later, Dad, if I'm wrong about this. But what I remember, and I think because I am a visual learner, I remember the diagram of how Mennonites differentiate themselves. You have the kingdom of heaven on one side in a column, and the kingdom of the world on the other side, and they never overlap. And we Anabaptists are particularly a part of this, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, these two parallel universes. And there's no interaction. And if I am a Christian, my sole citizenship is in the reign of God. You might possibly over imagine that they would overlap or touch where you need to do commerce, or where there are services that need doing between these two, but that they never overlap. And in Mennonite history, our theology has always been that Mennonites are in the world, but we are not of the world. And so, as I said, my own Mennonite forebears fled to Russia, or what was the Ukraine, from Prussia, and before that were in the Netherlands. And while they gained citizenship in these places, didn't see themselves as citizens. And yet, Mennonites often, or almost, or always had privileges like land ownership, like connections, like education, like certainly in Canada, and here, access to services and benefits from jobs and government and wealth. And wherever we've gone, we've had these big farms that have gained wealth and had that kind of a privilege, because although they were not citizens, they had all this ability to gain wealth. And yet we talked about ourselves as the quiet in the land. We didn't engage with these systems that we were a part of. Well, it has become increasingly apparent in this country, at least, that one can no longer take one's belonging in this nation for granted. We may feel ambiguously about our citizenship or our residency in the United States, but citizenship is a thing to claim, to use, and to name, which would be in line with the early church, or certainly how Paul understood his relationship to his citizenship. For a long time, I chose not to pursue citizenship here, like a really long time. I came here in 2005 or 2002 as a student, and after getting married to Joe in 2005, I could have pursued citizenship within 5 years, and took me a long time to do that. And I use non-citizenship as kind of an out to not sign petitions, to not have to be as informed as I could have been because I couldn't vote, so I didn't have to worry about it, which is not true. But all of that was by my own choice. I made that choice. And more I have been recognizing what a privilege it is to be able to choose. Because I didn't come here fleeing some kind of a violence or a place where I was worried about my safety. I didn't come here because my ancestors were enslaved and captured. And I do not have to think about my safety or my belonging is never questioned. Sometimes people will wonder about my accent. My children are not likely to be taken from me or in danger from law enforcement. And for a long time, I knew this, but did not let it influence my willingness to advocate for those who do not have a choice or the privilege. When our kids have claimed that they are half American, half Canadian, I have responded that they are, in fact, 100% both. This is a Venn diagram that fully overlaps. And when I consider my own identity, I feel like I might hold American citizenship, but I am Canadian. I'm sure my parents will be happy to hear that. But in fact, I am neither. I may have passports from two different countries, but I am 100% a subject and citizen of the reign of God. Paul also had dual affiliations. He was ethnically and religiously Jewish. He was a member of the Jewish diaspora and deeply immersed in the culture and religious practice of Judaism. He often talks about his zeal. And he was a Roman citizen by virtue of his birth in a Roman-occupied city, Tarsus. And he could code switch back and forth between those two identities. I'm sure he must have spoken at least four languages. Scholars would know this. He could use the language and idiom and reference of the audience that he was with to connect and to communicate and to share the message that he wanted to share. And both his Roman citizenship and his Jewishness were tools for witnessing to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Paul, all parts of his identity were a way into proclaiming the good news. Paul's first stop always at any city was the synagogue, and we noticed started noticing this when we were doing that study in Acts 2. He would always go first to the synagogue. That was his natural habitat. It was like his home territory. And he was immersed in that story of Jewishness, that cultural understanding. But if either the Jews or the Romans, the occupiers of those cities, had doubts or if they had questions, or if he got himself into hot water, you better believe he was pulling out his Roman passport and saying, "Whoa, whoa, 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 I'm a citizen. I'm a citizen." And through that legal status, Paul, even though he had that legal status, his true identity was in Jesus Christ. His privilege of citizenship was always and only in service of that discipleship. In his commentary on Acts, Willie James Jennings writes about the Apostle Paul. Paul has not now, nor has he ever trusted the judicial process. His trust is in God. He is outmaneuvering his enemies and living to fight another day. Unquote, or end of quote. If Paul had stayed in Jerusalem at the end of the story we read about him encountering Roman occupiers in the state of Israel, he probably would have ended up dead if he had stayed where he was. He knew how Jesus' life had ended because of his conflict with authority. And Paul saw the way his own story could play out. And so he calls on that privilege of citizenship to request a stay and a transfer. And because he's a citizen, it's granted. Okay, off to Rome with you then, Festus says. The way Paul leverages that system reminds me a little bit about the way the Apache stronghold has been in their long fight to save Oak Flat, or the Duwamish here in the Seattle area and their ongoing petition to be granted tribal status. Neither of these indigenous groups necessarily feels affiliated at all with the governments. that they are engaging with the systems they are engaging with. And in fact, they continue to be marginalized and excluded from these lands that are occupied, that has always been theirs. But because they have access, because they have citizenship, they have access to the courts, they're going to use them as much as they possibly can, as possibly can, in every way they possibly can, for real justice to be enacted. The same way that MCUSA was a part of this lawsuit, is still a part of this lawsuit recently with many other interfaith communities against the Immigration and Customs Enforcement to protect places of worship like this and so many others as places of sanctuary protected by, to protect immigrant communities and worshipers from ICE. And there has been some pushback within the Mennonite Church against that, saying that engaging in the legal system is a form of violence. And indeed, that has been our history of just not engaging at all in legal systems. But I appreciated a letter in the Anabaptist World not long ago from earlier this month. Mennonite lawyer Timothy Stoltzfus, who's from Virginia, writes, "When we sue an administration that is violating the Constitution, we are showing our allegiance to the principle that the United States is governed by laws, not by people. We follow the path of Paul, who insists on his rights as a Roman citizen when arrested by authorities." Historically, Mennonites have discouraged lawsuits as a form of violence, arguing that judicial judgments must ultimately be enforced through law enforcement officers. When we sue the government, this is not the case. The courts do not use violence when they enforce laws against the executive. I applaud the actions of MCUSA in calling on the courts to protect the freedom of churches to worship and serve immigrants. End quote. Willie James Jennings says, "Disciples of Jesus should be desperate citizens. The desperate citizen will press their citizenship as far as possible for the sake of thwarting death and its agents." End quote. Christian disciples of Jesus who are Black, who are the descendants of slaves, as Jennings is, have never had the luxury, as white settler Mennonites have, of being able to opt out of citizenship. Recognition of citizenship, even of personhood for Black Americans, has been hard fought. Jennings says, "We too often imagine citizenship from the privileged position of options. To become involved in politics or not, to concern ourselves with contentious issues or not, to claim our citizenship or not, to speak out or to remain silent." End quote. But perhaps you've also seen this quote on social media circulating, shared by activists. "To say you are not political is to say you are for the politics of the status quo." In our congregation, we have various levels of privilege. And as a church, we have a great deal of privilege. We have our respected place in the community at large. We have a level of education and skill within our own community. We are taken seriously by people in power, and Mennonites have like a good reputation. People hear Mennonite and they're curious and they want to know more. That has been my experience in Mennonite action. We have connections to like businesses and educational institutions and even government. We're all white, the people sitting in this room right now. Meanwhile, many people in minoritized communities and nonprofits, they have to scramble, work multiple jobs, do advocacy in their small amount of spare time, and then they may not be taken seriously when they do finally have access to power, when they have the opportunity to make their case for their own worth. Back in, I think it was October, when there were a handful of us from Mennonite Action who went to visit Adam Smith's office. There were a group of like half a dozen of us, and we were mostly middle-aged or older. We were all like nice white ladies, nice white church ladies. And Smith's aide, when we went in there to advocate for Gaza and for Palestine, commented on just how cordial and polite everyone was, how non-emotional it felt. And on one hand, oh, like, isn't that nice? He thought we were a good delegation. And on the other hand, he was implying that when ethnic groups come with similar concerns to ours and advocate for themselves, they were clouded by an emotional attachment to the issues and they were taken less seriously. The purpose of citizenship for a d disciple of Jesus, says Willie James Jennings, is to use the emperor's gold to break the emperor's hold on our lives and to use the systems that construct pawns to shatter the chains of servitude. End quote. Just as Mennonite theology has seen an evolution from passive non-resistance to active non-violence in its expression of pacifism, I think the church is beginning to shift. I've talked about this before, from being the quiet in the land and not engaging to a just peace theology that actively engages systems in order to tear down injustices. Just this week, Mennonite World Conference President Cesar Garcia wrote, and he too was inspired by the gatherings of Anabaptists and Mennonites in Zurich. He wrote, today more than ever, we need Christian leaders who embody the clarity of Ambrose of Milan, who lived in 339, a pivotal figure in the early Christian church. He famously confronted Emperor Theodosius regarding a massacre in Thessalonica, demanding clear signs of repentance before permitting him to re-enter communion with the church. Garcia goes on, we do not gain power by having a Christian politician. We do not gain power by having a Christian politician govern our country, by establishing constitutional laws based on the Bible, or by maintaining close relationships with the president. The only power we require to accomplish our mission is the one provided through the Holy Spirit. We do not need the affirmation, favor, or support of human governments. Our call is to serve society and present God's kingdom vision in reliance on the Holy Spirit. End quote. And Garcia's Canadian, right? Colombian? But he lives in Canada? I thought he lived in Ontario. So Colombian. He's witnessing to us. Our role is not to cozy up to power, but to speak truth to it. Not as the quiet or the meek in the land, but as a prophetic witness. God is greater than the nation state, but our citizenship is in the state and can be leveraged for justice and for the gospel. May we be disciples who are, in the words of Jennings, desperate citizens. And in that desperation, may we seek not only survival, but justice, shalom, and a just peace for all of God's creation. Amen.